Howdy everyone, welcome to the Fit, Healthy, and Most of All Happy podcast. I am your coach and host, Josh, here with
his co-host and co-coach, KG, and I'm in the house.
We got a little bit of a fun episode because me and Kyle have been around in the fitness industry for quite a while now, which is pretty crazy to think. It's now been pretty much over 11 years. I first started my YouTube and started my fitness endeavors in 2013, and I kind of had like a smaller thing before that in 2012, which is pretty crazy. So well over 10 years now, and it's been really interesting seeing how the industry has morphed for the better and for the worse. The changes, the things that have come to place, what we've noticed, what's held true. And I think there'll be a lot to learn from this episode. And if you're someone who's been around, I think you'll enjoy reflecting on some of the nostalgia. And if you're someone who's a little bit newer, you'll learn a lot because we can learn a lot about where we are now, the future from the past. So I think this will be a really fun episode. So I will pass it over to Kyle.
Yeah, this actually stemmed from a question from Jody, because about a month ago when we went to the Miami Gymshark Expo, we made a post how we were talking to Max Chunin, who's been in this for the same time as us, and Mike Rosa from Anabolic Aliens, who we started YouTube with. And I basically said in the post like how it's wild how fitness has changed over the past little while. And she's like, I'd love to hear about what happened and what's been different from that. So yeah, I mean, starting into it, like, it was pretty cool. I know Josh can tell you about his backstory, but he started with P90X, which obviously I don't know if it's a thing anymore. Maybe it is. But I thought that was pretty cool because I had never done it. I know that was a pretty big thing for a lot of people to get into it. Even just in terms of the YouTube, like once we first started, it turned into just this, like, everything had to be beautiful and polished up. It's kind of funny, like looking back now, like this guy, Christian Guzman, who some of you may know, like he started making the most insane edits, and fitness just turned from like sharing tips and stuff into like sharing your life. And I thought that was quite an interesting transition. And the one thing I will say was like about 10 plus years ago, flexible dieting, which like I firmly believe in, I don't really think it was a thing. Maybe it was, but it wasn't like as studied and it wasn't as like talked about. But I just remember looking at fitness people thinking they all ate 100% healthy, no fun foods, no bad foods, until I started to realize that you can still absolutely build a great physique while enjoying a cookie and an ice cream or whatever it is that you fit into your macros. So I think it was around the time when we first got into fitness that if it fits your macros, which people call IIFYM, was kind of more so introduced. I know Lane Norton, who we talked about recently, was really big into bringing some of that stuff to light and allowing people to understand you don't just have to eat broccoli, chicken, and rice. So I think that was pretty cool because that really helped me shape what I thought, how I lived, how I started to help clients as well. So yeah, this was 10 plus years ago, but it's definitely been a pretty cool journey so far.
Yeah, even when I started, I think it was just, it's crazy now, even we were talking about filming and different things like that, like the concept of starting a YouTube video. How I actually got into it was I would upload like YouTube videos of like music artists to YouTube and try and get the AdSense because my friend did that. And then from that, I was like, wow, like, why don't I just document my fitness journey and help more people along the way? There was way less people and information out there. And I was like, a lot of this information is so bad or so pointed. And everything at that time was really about packaging it in a way to make people interested because there was less info, there was less competition. So you could go out, be loud, make a statement, and people would be pretty willing and willing to listen to it. And at the time, there's a guy, Six Pack Shortcuts. He was like the dominant guy. He was the beast. And even a lot of his stuff, you could tell he was kind of ahead of his time, where he would just make little gimmicky quick package things for people to follow. And that's where like P90X was fantastic for me. It allowed me to have that start. It was a very simple program. It was actually one of the better programs at the time. But everyone at that point would buy like box sets for fitness or be classes, and the gym was an entirely different place. Weight training was definitely less common. Gyms would typically have like more cardio machines, I found. And even the most interesting thing was just how predominantly male it was. Now it's crazy. Gyms are not quite at that 50-50, but it's awesome to see girls in there just crushing it, getting after it, lifting weights, seeing the health benefits and being part of that journey. And I think that is one of the greatest changes that has taken place, because at that time, the attitude very much was, you lift, you're going to look like a man, you're going to get too manly. And it was cool seeing that pivot start to take place, but there'd only be a handful of girls in the gym at any given time. And it was a very, very different point. And that's where I was like, I've spent so much time researching and learning and improving myself and helping others that I wanted to make that content. And that's where me and Kyle hopped into it. And a lot of people joke that like 2013 to 2017 was a golden era of YouTube fitness, because there was less creators and it was less crazy dramatic. So obviously, as Kyle said, it veered away from that to being more of a production thing, a look at me, more of a hype. The people out there that were doing well were flashier, where it became very, very different. Whereas at the start, it was like, here's my progress, here's what I do. Hopefully you can take something from it and make it count. And I thought that was a really cool component of it. But there's also way less information than there is now. Like now, it's incredible how much you can learn. I'm still always learning new things, unfortunately, now too. Just the same, there's a lot of fluff. And one big takeaway I would encourage everyone from this episode is the concept that if something's been around for a long time, it's been just a black and white truth, those are where you should be putting most of your effort and energy in. It's cool to see the odd thing come up here, but I can tell you from when I started to now, there are no new supplements that have changed the game outside of something like an Ozempic or something really dramatic with that, which is also very new. And you don't know a lot of the side effects alongside that and the dangers that come within it. But from the start to now, like it's still the same marketing, still a lot of same nonsense, but the truths hold true, which is exercising, being on a great regimen, lifting heavy weights, eating really good food, getting great sleep, and for supplements, like just going with the bread and butter basics and not doing anything too exotic because they are overstated and they don't have their benefit. But those are just a few things I really noticed along the way as it kind of pivoted into what it was. And it was cool seeing more people get into it, more knowledge, and even a background for us. We started with the concept of both wanting to be as muscular as possible. We were just finishing out puberty pretty much, graduating out of high school, going to uni. Wanting to get jacked, seeing the change that comes alongside that. We both did really heavy bulks. We started our YouTube channel, Colossus Fitness, to put on as much muscle as physically possible to get Colossus. I found that name by searching synonyms of huge, and that's pretty much what came up. I wanted Behemoth Fitness, but it was taken, so Colossus Fitness it was. And it's funny, in retrospect, the amount of people, a peeve of mine and Kyle's, is people say, oh, you guys are Colossal Fitness, and we're like, oh, Colossus. And even worse is the spelling of it sometimes, like in our email or obviously for our Instagram, Colossus. It's kind of a funny one to spell there, but it's been awesome to see that sticked and the brand that came around that, and we made shirts. And then we noticed too, it was growing, and we're like, we want to take this further. And that's why this podcast is Fit, Healthy, Happy, because we want it to encompass way more people. And our biggest motivator, which past just getting huge or putting on muscle, has really just been helping people live a fitter, healthier, and most importantly, happier life, because that does strive from the former. And that's how you get the latter. That's how you get happiness, is by being content in the one body you have to carry around and drag with. And that is definitely one thing I definitely really noticed. When we got started too, was like a big fake natty thing or half natty phase. So a lot of people that looked almost natural but took a bit of steroids and would lie about it. There's a lot of controversy out there. And I think one thing I'll jump into as we transition to now, I know this will be a little bit of a looser format where we kind of want to tell a story of our journey, but I think the most detrimental negative thing right now is the fact of how much steroids are being pushed, especially to younger people, and they're really being seen as like fix-alls. And I've noticed I see a lot of younger people that have that look, and you might say, how can you know someone's on steroids? Well, excessive acne, you'll notice people really blowing up overnight. You'll notice too, like man boobs start to take place. Like that will definitely happen quite a lot. And people are pretty vocal about it. It's pretty accepted for people to be doing it now. See a lot of stuff about like Tren and Anavar and all these different things. And my thought, and the reason I've always stayed natural, was as much as it'd be cool to look big, I've really built a body I'm incredibly proud of that continues to amaze me. And I know if I take care of my body, I'll be proud of it. And that's where I've gotten to this point. And I know I could even give more, do better. I'm still looking to improve. And that's the beauty of the journey. And for me, especially too, at that age, like even looking back, like we were still growing. And it's funny, if you look at some of these older photos of me and Kyle when we started, like we were very much kids. Like I started school at 17, university. I was in there, and it's funny even seeing the facial structure, the height, the thickness. Like it's really interesting seeing how much that pivoted, and these can have such a detrimental effect, and people will jump into these things before they've even seen any natural progression. And seeing how much that's pushed, I think it's really messy for people where they'll jump in and think this will solve all their problems. And I even saw a funny post recently that like steroids, in a sense, they really do fall into addiction. And a lot of people see them as drugs as an addiction, but it's something you take for a result when you know it's inherently negative for your health, that you'll continue to take with the belief that you can control it and you'll have a balance of what's enough. So it fits that description pretty perfectly. So that is one thing I would caution people. And if you were to choose to make that decision, even the rhetoric that was always pushed in this fake natty day was you should really max your natural potential and then explore something like that and go about it the right way. But what's even crazy, going back to our journey while I finish off this rant here, is the amount of people who are massive influencers, bodybuilders, legends, like huge prospects, and seeing them pass away at such young ages, which is crazy. And I think for me, that just really reiterated the importance of health and sustainability and doing this for long term. And that's just a few thoughts I had there.
Yeah. And on that topic of the whole steroid thing, it's interesting because even like the transition of YouTube and what's popular now, like I feel like so many people are into like the 3-second TikToks and like nice and quick. And then now, obviously, this guy, Sam Selleck from YouTube, he's, you know, becoming just crazy famous, and people are like even studying him for social media because they're like, how is this guy doing this, you know, just every day uploading? And he obviously is not natural, and so a lot of kids around that age of, I guess, 20-ish are kind of looking at him and being like, ooh, like I want to get big like him. So obviously he is helping a lot of people in different senses, but also there is that sense where some people may start, unfortunately, doing something like that, taking steroids because of his content and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, over the entire journey, it's been really cool because like over the past while, I feel like one unfortunate thing is there have been a million diets. It's kind of like social media. You all remember those apps. I remember I was reflecting back on the app called Vine, which was like an 8-second app. And like you look back on it, you're like, oh, that was a cool phase. And then we use Periscope, which is what we used to film as like a live streaming thing. So just like those come and go. Diets, a lot of them, they've been introduced. A lot of people don't really stick to it. They try it, they fail, and then they just kind of get blown away. Now, of course, a lot of them have stuck, you know, such as keto, fasting. Some of them also aren't as popular. I mean, I don't look into them too much because I'm really so focused on what works and what I really enjoy and what our clients will do the best thing with. But another fun, like little thought looking back is like how online coaching has just actually become quite popular. I remember it's kind of funny talking to a new person when they say, oh, so like you started online coaching, you know, when COVID happened. And we're like, absolutely not. Like we have been doing this for so long. And I remember back when Josh first got, you know, people from his university to sign up because he was doing such a great job of helping people. So like for us, it's been just, we've actually had it like figured out, not of course perfect because there's always things we can change and we're never those people who are like, we know everything. But we've actually had all of our systems in place for many, many years between the spreadsheets, the email stuff that we send out, the workouts, like everything we've been doing hasn't just come from the last 2 years like some people. It has. And that's another funny thing is now it seems like every person and their like family members either have a fitness podcast or have a fitness channel or they're an online coach. Like it's kind of just pretty common now. Whereas like for us, it's just been such a long ride of just like figuring it out. Like it wasn't even really a thing when we first started. And we're like, this is so much more efficient to do this than to help people in person, which ends up costing you more money. You actually don't end up getting better results. They become reliant on you. And if you're a personal trainer, not to, you know, put it down or anything, but we just find online coaching so much more efficient. And so, yeah, with that being said, it's just been a really fun journey of seeing like where things have come and gone and, you know, what's been taking place so far. And I think the last thing I want to mention, it is definitely really cool to see in the gym, like Josh touched on, of just like how many more people are lifting. Like we always try to promote the benefits of cardio, but lifting to me, as you know, if you've listened to this podcast for a while, is so, so important. And I know a lot of females struggle with it. And so what I realized as well from attending this Gymshark event, I actually started following their page. And I was clicking to see like, cause I'm not up to date with their influencers and who's sponsored or anything like that. And I'm like, oh my, this is crazy. Like you'd click on like this one person's profile, like some 19-year-old girl, and she's got 4 million followers. Every one of those people are impacted by her workouts, by what she shares. And fitness really can be an amazing, powerful thing. So I think that definitely has a lot to do with it, is like the younger female influencers like promoting it, which is really cool. But I will say, if I'm going to leave one last thing to think about, and just in terms of just like where we're at right now, is there are obviously a lot of pros. There are a lot of cons, you know, as you can see from this title here. Now, what I will say is in terms of the biggest pro is I do believe it's accessible absolutely everywhere, which is fantastic. There's so many boutique gyms. There's a lot of shift towards holistic wellness and a lot of, you know, mental health focus. And there's a lot of opportunities, the amount of group classes there are, like there's so many things to become fit. And there is an amazing amount of resources. And this industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, probably close to 100 billion. I looked it up. They said 98 billion, but I'm not 100% sure. Now, the other thing though, is that because it's such a big industry, there's a million things being pushed on you. So every single day, the marketing is getting better. They have an entire team behind them. They're always trying to come up with these new products, these new things to try to get you to spend your money. So you really have to be careful. That's what we do here with this podcast, is give you real advice, the raw truth. And there's so many things between waist trainers, between fit tees, like it's just never ending. So I just warn you to be careful with who you follow, look into what you're gonna buy, spend money on the right stuff, such as a gym membership, an online coach who will take care of you, not waste it on tons of supplements that's not going to do anything. So that's obviously one of the biggest cons. As you go on social media, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And I just wanted to leave you with that as well.
Yeah, and a lot of these phases come and go. I remember keto is a new hot thing, then intermittent fasting, fasted cardio had its big run. But like Kyle said, I think the steer towards more people lifting is the biggest thing. And even seeing a lot of these new studies come out alongside like longevity and lifespan and general health, and how that can be actually related so heavily towards your how much muscle you hold, even to really avoid just the effects of aging, as well as your grip strength as a precursor of how long you can actually live as a longevity marker, is crazy. So really just lifting well, eating food, healthy food will never go out of style. Be so wary of these new like marketing pushes and new fads, and having gone through so many different phases, it's easier to not be enticed by it. And by just doing the work, doing the small things, you will see results and you really find what does work for you. So we hope you enjoyed it. Want to take you through a little bit of a walk down memory lane and share some of the funny different components of the journey, and also impart some knowledge. So if you enjoyed this format of podcast, please do let us know. We appreciate the words as always. If you want to get in contact with us, hit us up on Instagram at ColossusFit, ColossusFit. Make sure to give a follow. We're always posting value, showcasing extra parts of our life, and you can get more visuals past just this podcast. So we want to thank you for tuning in today. Peace out.